and some attempt to record what's said may or may not succeed. And, not that unusual, we seek or set about trying to produce some result, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So how are you doing? How is it for you to be in this condition? That sometimes things go the way we wish and sometimes they don't. How are you to be in this retreat where sometimes we do it the way you might like it done, and maybe sometimes that's not what's happening? Okay with what's happening, but I'm not surprised if it's a little bit of a stretch, if it's a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of a push or a pull on some of our buttons. It's not that we might set out to do that intentionally, but nor is it completely an accident that it happens, because life is challenging, and a meditation retreat is an invitation to understand the nature of the challenges and where we can actually transform those challenges and where we need to learn to simply be with them. And we come to a retreat like this, walking retreat, nature retreat, meditation retreat, silent retreat. Can be many ways we think of it or describe it. And probably we all have some idea of how it will be. We think, I go to meditation retreat, silence or peace or spirituality, with some rather lovely and beautiful vision of peace and calm, tranquility, sitting still in profound bliss, or walking in the beauty of nature, enjoying the delights of the scenery. And these images come to mind, and so we think, yes, I'll go along to the nature retreat, the walking retreat, the silent retreat, the meditation retreat, the walking silence in nature meditation retreat. And somewhere along the line, perhaps quite early on, we notice, this doesn't quite feel like what it sounded like or I thought it was going to be like when I read the brochure. Or I looked on the website and I thought, yes, I want to go to that. I really want to go to that. In fact, perhaps I've been planning for months and organizing many complicated things just so I can go to this. And then we get there and it seems like maybe we forgot to read the fine print on the advertisement. But they would surely have warned us that maybe it was going to be like this. Wouldn't that be right? Shouldn't that be fair? That that's what the fine print and the advertisement, or maybe the large print, it should have been the main print, said it's going to be like this? And then we wonder, if I'd known that, would I have come along? Maybe we wonder this. I'm sure, in fact, plenty of us wonder this. Have this kind of question. And maybe we knew what we were getting into because we've done some meditation. We thought we knew. And we know meditation is challenging. To sit still. To face the forces of mind and heart and the experience of body and heart and mind. This is not an easy undertaking. And so at least we should do it in a situation where there's not too much else that's making it more difficult, shouldn't we? Surely we should sit somewhere comfortable where it's quiet, where there's nothing else going on, where it's pleasant and cool. Shouldn't we do it there? Wouldn't it be easier for my mind to get calm if it was comfortable? Seems to make sense, doesn't it? Why wouldn't we do it like that? And in fact, one can do it like that, but sometimes we're doing it like that here, it seems. We sit in this nice room with these nice, soft, foamy, spongy, pleasant, clean sweet smelling, if you've sniffed, gnats. So why wouldn't we just stay in here? It's not like it's going to just be a party or easy, you know. I want some challenge, some stretch, some growing. But that's not all that's happening, is it? We're sitting here. We have to face our mind, our body, in different ways. And then this afternoon we went out walking, and maybe we thought it was quite uncomfortable sitting in here during the morning. We thought actually it was, you know, not that well set up to be relaxing and peaceful and calm because, you know, body was hurting. Then we go outside and walking along, we realize that, oh, maybe it was quite good this morning because we have to walk. And we don't get to say when we start. We just start. It didn't start when I wanted to. Might be. Like I was ready to go a bit earlier, or I could have waited a little bit longer. But no, just bong, and we go. And then when we walk, I don't get to say, I like that, I'll go that way. It's like, I have to follow. Me too, actually. I don't know where we're going. Out there. I see the lake as we're walking along. Nice lake, nice lake. Maybe we're going to the lake. We're not going to the lake. Maybe we go to the lake tomorrow. I see my mind go, maybe we'll go to the lake tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe we can't go to the lake. Maybe there's a fence around the lake. Maybe there's a something between us and the lake that means we don't go to the lake. But we're so used to being able to follow that sense of, I want to go this way. I want to go that way, that we do. We spend our life doing it. And we walk in a line. And sometimes, it's walking too slowly. I can walk faster than this. I can walk. I like to walk. I like to stretch out, swing my arms. But I can't because there's someone in front of me and someone behind me, and I've been told I'm supposed to stay in line. Despite the fact that I don't like to have to do what I'm told, I thought I'd try it just this time. So here I am. Or actually, I'm rather tired. It's a bit hot and I'm going up, it's uphill now. And it's going too fast. I'm going to stop. And they're not stopping. It's not stopping. It keeps going. How frustrating and annoying. Or maybe the person beside me is making lots of noise. Maybe they're puffing and grunting. And are we a silent retreat? What's going on? We're supposed to be practicing compassion. This doesn't feel compassionate. Why can't I stop and have a pee when I want to? What kind of crazy thing is this? It's a really powerful place to bring ourselves to, a place where we choose, because no one's forcing you. In fact, sometimes I'm a little bit amazed that people do what I suggest, since it's not necessarily what their first choice is, I can tell. You might think you're disguising it, but I can tell. At least for some, maybe. But it's a really powerful place to bring us to this, where we aren't getting it the way we want it, yet somehow we've chosen to be there. Just as you've chosen to come to this retreat, you've chosen to come to this talk. Maybe you're not hearing what you'd like to hear. Well, same situation. But what's it like in your life when this happens? When you can't get what you want? When it doesn't stop or start according to your preference and timetable? Because there's, to begin with, 6 billion other people who have their own preference and timetable and plan and need. Or maybe just one other person who happens to have that conflicts with oneself. But in many situations we can pretend that's not going on. We can give ourselves the illusion that actually we're constantly massaging and adjusting and fixing it and changing it and stopping and starting and going left and right and fast and slow. And it gives us the sense that somehow we're managing to make it fit for what we want. But the truth of it, if we look, is that we keep doing that. It keeps on going on and 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 on, and it doesn't stop, and then it goes on and on and on some more. This process of trying to somehow get life to fit in with what I want. So choosing to be in a place where it's really clear that that's not what this is about is a very powerful statement, a very potent expression of willingness to explore, to discover, to see for ourselves what is possible for a human being. It's like we can see how our mind protests the situation where it can't have its preference. It's not actually that it's necessarily that physically unpleasant. It's not that painful to walk slowly along in the warmth. Sure, but there's breeze and there's some shade. It's not that. I mean, there are more physically difficult things or painful things that we've probably all experienced in our lives. But the sense of having to somehow go along with, and they haven't even told us what, it's not even that I just might not prefer it, I don't even know what's going to happen. Like if they said we're walking for 1 hour and then we'll stop, at least I know what's going to happen, but I have no idea. It's like that really challenges us. Challenges just the simple discomfort of trying to sit cross-legged on a pile of sharp, lumpy, squishy, pokey, and occasionally crawly things, facing uphill or downhill or into the sun or sort of sideways to the slope. And, you know, it's hard enough to do this on a flat thing with something soft underneath me. Why do this like that? You know, why, like, you know, should we be suspended by 1 foot from a tree and try and meditate? You know, obviously that would be going a little further. Probably going a little far, I would suggest. We won't be doing that, in case you're concerned. I don't suggest you try it. But there's something about encountering the truth of this experience. Encountering it, not covering it over, not shying away from it, not pretending it isn't happening. Because if we pretend this isn't happening even before you got here, then it's going to keep on happening. This condition of it not being the way I want was happening before you got here. Here, the form makes it clear. We can't pretend. We're not kidding ourselves. And we can see the mind that comes up with what I want to happen, what I'd like to happen. I'm walking along thinking, it'd be really nice if sometime soon we come to a really big, wide, flat, grassy meadow. We can all sit in a nice, I like nice circles. You'll probably get that after a while. I like nice circles. Not sort of squat, flat, oblong, bendy ones with a gap because there's a rut in the road. And then if one of those nice, flat, grassy places came along to sit in, it'd be like, let's sit there. But it doesn't. So it's like, okay. This is what we've got. This is where we're going to sit down, because somewhere along the line we have to sit down. And this is life. This is life. Can we see that that's what it is? Rather than something that's being done to us? It's life. And to reflect upon this, the Buddha suggested and invited frequently that we look at this reality, that life is challenging, that it's not as we want it to be. And he said, and when he spoke of this, he talked about how, you know, our body, our heart and our mind is subject to conditions that are not in our control, not as we wish them to be. He talked about the body being subject to birth, aging, sickness and death. All of us experience the challenges of these conditions. All these bodies that were born will go through aging, will come to sickness, will end in death. These bodies That's for sure. And along the way, there'll be quite a lot of discomfort. We wonder, why be with discomfort? Why not just get away from it if we can? Well, if you can, in some ways, why not? But most of it, we can't. And if we don't learn to be with it, then what happens is the discomfort doesn't go away, so we leave. We disconnect. Then we live disconnected because we can't be present with discomfort and we can't get rid of the discomfort. And if we live our life disconnected in this way, that's much more deeply painful. There's a deep loss that is there, a deep keening in our heart when we are disconnected from our life. And to explore what it means. Not to have extreme discomfort. It's okay if we need to change or move or stand in the sitting or pee if we're walking, if we have to. But our habit is to move for every single little thing so much. And we've become so good at preventing ourselves having to feel too many things. Because we have clothes and we have shoes and we have houses and we have thermostats and central heating and all this. That we're constantly moving and shifting and shimmying away from where we are. Because it's never perfectly comfortable. And it never gets permanently perfectly comfortable. Am I speaking too quickly? Yeah, a couple of nods. I'll try and slow down. I just noticed. Tell me if I need to speak more slowly. As we see ourselves keep moving and feel that, this momentum is more painful than the discomfort we're trying to avoid. But we don't notice it. We think that the painfulness is because of the discomfort. It's not. The discomfort is discomfort. But the deeper pain is to do with this constant movement away and the disconnectedness that we experience because of that. So we learn to not move away. Not every time, not so quickly. To be still. Or relatively still. And to begin to trust our capacity to meet life as it is. When often we fear or believe that we maybe cannot do so, that it will be too much or overwhelming for us. Actually, our capacity is much greater than we allow ourselves to imagine. But we need to learn this. We need to be supported and encouraged to learn this. Through coming a little closer to the edge and just checking it out. What's it like out here? Where it's not all that comfortable, but I'm willing to meet it and see what happens. The Buddha spoke about the discomfort of the body as something we need to meet and acknowledge. The suffering associated with birth, aging, sickness and death. But although we might be able to move our knee when it hurts a little, for all of us, in time, there will come something that we can't just adjust our posture and make it go away. All of us. Probably most of you have already met those places. If not, you're probably very young and fortunate so far. But an aging body, and it doesn't have to be that old to know it's aging, we can't adjust our way out of. So we learn to actually learn to hold it. The Buddha also spoke about the heart, the suffering of the heart, the difficulty, the challenges our heart experiences. He spoke of pain, grief, lamentation and despair. As things that as human beings we encounter. Sorrow, pain, grief, lamentation and despair. Again, we could check back, was that on the small print for the retreat? Did they tell us this might happen? No. You know, this is a breach of contract. I want my money back. Oh, we didn't have to pay any money. Oh, no wonder. It's not that it comes because we're here. Maybe we've felt some struggle or sorrow or frustration or despair today or confusion. It doesn't come because we're here. We see it because we're here. Because what we're doing here is carefully crafted through many people's experience over hundreds and hundreds of years as a form that helps us see what is true. And we see it. We begin to see it. We don't necessarily like that we're seeing it. We easily think, I'd rather not, but we see it nonetheless. And this is actually fortunate, because whether or not we see it or acknowledge it, it's happening. It's going on. Our heart is touched at times by difficult things. We cannot live without this occurring. And our mind, the Buddha spoke of our mind being exposed to the challenges of association with that which we don't like. Or association with the unloved, translated. We have to be exposed to things we don't like. And separation from that which is liked or that which is loved. This is hard for us, our mind. We struggle. I want it. I don't want it that way. And in summarizing it, the sense of not getting what I want. This is something the Buddha pointed to that we need to look at and understand, because if we don't understand that reality, it creates suffering beyond the not getting what I want, which is uncomfortable, unpleasant, disappointing, but the suffering that it creates is when we struggle with that, when we consume our life trying to stop that happening and don't succeed. We can't make it be the way we want it to be. If you've tried, you may have noticed that sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, but even when you do, when you get the thing you want, like we get to stop, walking, when are we going to stop? He said 45 minutes, it's been at least an hour by now, when are we going to stop? We're stopping, we're going to have to sit here? We wanted to stop a moment, we got the thing we thought we wanted, but actually it was more comfortable walking than sitting here, it turns out. So often life is like that, isn't it? And here we see that. We feel that. Can we learn to be with it? Like, this is a practice in which the emphasis is oriented, is organized more towards a certain, we could say, stretching of our heart's capacity. We could say it's more, strangely you might think, this is actually more of a heart practice, what we're doing here. We're not so much working on getting our mind to line up in a straight line and sort of follow the breath and sort of in becoming very, very focused, start to penetrate deeper in a certain direction. That's part of what happens here. But a lot of the emphasis is also on the sense of just, what happens for us as we allow the heart to open, to embrace or to include, or at least just for now stay with, if we don't have to even necessarily tolerate, but just stay with or like the experience. It's like we can't stay within our tight little constructions and contractions and positions. We can't stop life getting in and starting to shake that up, starting to open that up, starting to penetrate and soften the hardness with which we enclose ourselves, the hardness with which we attempt to defend ourselves from feeling the way life is, which doesn't actually manage to defend us from it because we're inside with the feelings. It actually simply imprisons us inside with them. That hardness, that defendedness. And so we do this. again, we might hear the voice in our mind arising saying, why? Why do we do this? Why are we doing it like this? Because we can. Because we can. We can step out of the limitation. And the prison that we invest in by attempting to always stay comfortable and within the familiar and the known, the predictable and the safe. Can step out of the limitation we buy or we build and believe in around our potential. We can learn to step out of it. And a lot of what we do here is learning this is so. Seeing that we can not have to be carried by the habits of our life and the habits of the world around us. The habits of distraction and reaction. Notice our mind. Notice your mind as we sit, as we walk, as we hear. How much of the time are we sort of just floating on the surface of random things without really there being any connection or sensitivity or empathy in the heart? Or how many times are we locked into something in a reactive, contracted way, struggling with the way it is or the way it should be? Wanting it to stay like I like it, or wanting it to change because I don't like it. Whether it's immediate, my experience now, or to do with something of past or future. So much of our energy is lost and locked in this patterned, habitual behavior. And so, coming back to the moment, coming back to the breath, coming back to the body, coming back to our feet as we walk in a line up a hill. Not that we chose this, but this is where we are. Who chose to get born on this planet, in this body, at this time? I certainly didn't. I don't know if any of you have a sense of having chosen that. If we didn't choose that, how do we expect, and that's basically the biggest thing that happened from a personal point of view, is we turned up here. We didn't choose that. How do we expect that we should be choosing all the subtle details that go with it? And really, when we get to stop or go or sit or stand, some ways minor detail compared to the fact that we're here. And not forever. What happens if we stay in that sort of attempt to keep ourselves comfortable and safe is that a certain dullness and deadness or deadening starts to happen to our consciousness, to our heart, to our body in fact, as well. All of the different expressions of our aliveness are impacted by that tendency, that habit to try and keep it safe and comfortable and familiar. And the effect of that is that we get less and less quality contact with life. We feel less and less nourished by the sweetness and the beauty and the kindness that is actually around in this world. Not the only thing that's there, for sure, but that it's there. Because we've sort of become a bit numb to it. And the way for many the attempt to deal with that is to get more experience and more intensity and more stimulation. We see how our world is getting faster and louder and brighter and more, but it doesn't actually do what we hope for. It doesn't get us there. It can't. That's when we start to move beyond the familiar, beyond the control, beyond the sense of, I know how it is. I know what's going to happen and what it's going to be like. Hard not knowing what's going to happen, isn't it? Not knowing what time it's going to happen. We're used to knowing that at this time of day I'm going to do this, and if I want to I will, and if I don't I'll do something else. But that sense of just having to wait until we see and find out when we're told what's happening next, that's challenging also. But when we can begin to relax into that insecurity and uncertainty, something very important can begin to happen. Because actually, it's not like we're going from comfort and control and security to their opposites. We're going from the imagination or the illusion of comfort and control and security to being without that illusion. We're actually moving towards seeing what is more true. Who was a remarkable woman who was blind and deaf and yet lived a very rich and full life. She once said, "Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, and nor do the children of man and woman experience it. Avoiding danger is in the long run no safer than outright exposure. Life is either a glorious adventure or it is nothing." Remarkable words. And I think a profound invitation to see if our life could be a glorious adventure of discovery. First thing that we might begin to notice, maybe it's so, maybe not, at this point for you, but when we go into that place, where we go beyond that place where we're struggling with a little bit of discomfort or a lot of discomfort, we start to just give up a little. It's kind of like, well, it looks like we're not going to stop. Okay, at some point, or, you know, we're going to keep going. I've complained, I've moaned, my telepathic messages to the front saying stop, don't work. At some point we give up and just like, oh, you know, not because we're wise or equanimous, but just because we're tired of it. And we just, huh. So maybe we notice, huh, what's it like here when we're not struggling with it? Maybe we start to feel with more sensitivity or see with more clarity. And just maybe little ways. I was noticing walking as we walked down between the olive trees, just that the earth was so deeply cracked. And just really feeling what that must be, to be the living earth, so parched and dry that these deep cracks opened up in it. And just what that must be like. Just somehow sense of, like, you know, how much this earth would long for, would love moisture to come into it. How perhaps it waits all year, I don't know how long it waits here. It waits a long time, I'm sure. And then, you know, one sees that, one feels that, and one feels the earth and it's longing for moisture. And one can maybe sense how there are times when our own hearts feel dry, or arid, or cracked, or stretched, and how our own hearts long for moisture. The moisture of kindness, of connection. It's just in us, we just kind of, in a very simple way, maybe just feel a sense of, oh. And just take our next step just a little bit more gently. Rather than, you know, we start to have some feeling or communion with what we're in and around and amongst. Just walking on the earth. Maybe sometimes we're just going along and we're kind of thinking, hard earth, clunk, 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 clunk. As at another point not that long after, I noticed myself just clunk, clunk, clunk. It was just after we left the place where we sat, in fact, and most of you will have not been at all aware of what happened just after we left. And it's very interesting, I was just following Yara, and this hard, solid earth that has no moisture in it, I'd been quite observing it, suddenly became very, very soft. And in fact, in front of me, Yara stepped in the mud and was sinking into it quite deeply and trying to take another step. And there was a lot of mud, like serious mud. I don't know how far she was going to go in, but it was quite a bit. Like she could have lost a shoe in there. And I was just thinking, oh, it's just, you know, I'm just walking along, and I noticed myself, I walked straight into the same mud. She turned to me and said, I think we should go another way. I thought, you're right. So we doubled back and found another way. But And I was laughing at myself, actually, in that moment. I just walking along, and didn't really stop to notice that actually, probably we don't need to walk through this bit. Because it's a lot of mud. And how sometimes we just kind of in a habit or a rut. And we stop, we don't notice that suddenly this is a really different place. On the path or in our own heart. We're learning to pay attention, to be responsive to the situation. To not say, oh, well, it's muddy, well, no, we're doing meditation, walking in nature, we'll just walk through it. Doesn't matter if we end up knee deep in the stuff. We could make that choice, I guess. But the wisdom seems to suggest to go around. Part of what comes by being more present, learning to be more present, making the effort to be present as we sit, as we walk, as we go through the day, is we can start to notice more quickly what's happening, whether we're on hard earth or soft mud. And that might be what we're walking on outwardly, or it might be what we're feeling in our hearts right then. And we can start to notice it, because we're not shying away, we're not trying to fix or improve or avoid, we're just seeking to meet. We're willing to enter, to touch and be touched by our life. A certain sensitivity that comes naturally in this process, we maybe start to open up. But it takes time, it's maybe not what we feel. Maybe we feel at first we're closing down, we're shying, pulling away. But if that's what you feel, see if you can let yourself feel that. Rather than taking that as evidence that it's not right, or you're doing it wrong, or it's the wrong time, or the wrong place, can you let yourself feel that place in you that's pulling away? Not to judge it or blame it, but meet it. See what it needs. Because probably what it needs is some caring attention. It's somehow trying to protect us, usually. Not always that usefully or skillfully or effectively. But that pulling away is like trying to protect us. But it doesn't. It disconnects us. And the deeper protection is learning to protect ourselves from disconnecting. Which is what we do every time we are willing to come back again and again and be here in this. Not that you or I chose it this way, but it's like this. Can I connect? Is it possible in this way, in this place, to enter it? Because it isn't leaving. The only thing that leaves is our connectedness. And that doesn't leave forever. Of course, that's always there, remarkably and wonderfully. And fortunately, we can always find that again by turning back to it, by remembering that possibility. I feel a lot of sensitivity. It's important to be able to hold that skillfully, to learn to be able to ground our attention. So sometimes we're not so sensitive, or we're kind of hardened or rigid or tight. And often the thinking that goes with it is quite hard and rigid and tight, like it must be this way or it must not be that way. A lot of certainty, a lot of hardness in the thinking, and the body can feel tight with it. And this is, as I said, there's some softening of that that comes. But sometimes actually what we feel is like we feel really soft, we feel really exposed, like somebody's been peeling the skin off. And it's like, ooh, too much sensitivity. Sometimes what that needs is that we actually learn to ground and hold it. We don't need to get more sensitive. We need to be able to hold some space for that sensitivity. And what can be useful with that when we feel it too poignantly is to be able to notice that that's not all of our experience. It's one part of it, an important part. But there's also, inevitably, aspects of the experience which we can rest in, that are maybe more neutral or just more steady. And sometimes, like, just coming back to our feet as we walk, like the feet, it's just kind of, it's not particularly exciting, it's not that glamorous, it isn't really that sexy, just, you know, feet touching the ground, boom. Feet touching the ground. Boom. But it's there. And we can actually come to connect with it. or standing still on the ground. Just and use that to kind of balance that maybe right now my heart's sort of feeling all sort of mushy or shaky, or my belly's all tight, or my mind is spinning. But that's not all that's happening. It's like, oh, our experience offers us, as we learn to be skillful with it, different ways to meet it. So, to notice if there's a lot going on for you, where there isn't so much going on. Not to avoid that, but to be able to bring balance. So that you can spend a little time feeling where it's a lot going on. Like maybe if something's hurting when you're sitting, spend some time feeling it. But if it feels like that's enough or too much, it's fine then to spend some time feeling something else that feels okay. Your elbow. I've actually personally not experienced pain in my elbow from sitting meditation. Maybe it's not a good place for you, but look and see. Maybe your elbow just feels like, I mean, it's not exciting. It's like a little bit of sort of sense of coolness almost, but you know, couldn't entertain someone with this, but there's no suffering there. It's like, oh, I mean, maybe it's where you're sitting and you feel your butt on this cushion. Maybe it's just the space above your head. It's kind of light, and head might be going bzzz, but just try the space above it. What's it like just above your scalp where the hair is? It's okay. And notice how when the picture gets a little bit bigger, suddenly more things are possible. Like we tend to focus in very tight on the thing I want, which I haven't got, or the thing I don't want, which I have got. And we stop seeing everything else. So kind of learning to be a bit more fluid, a bit more open, to notice what else is here. This part might really ache, but that part might be feeling quite pleasant right now. Why is it that I spend all my time feeling the bit that hurts when probably about 80% of me at that same time is feeling quite good? Curious, isn't it, how we operate? It's not to deny that something's hurting, or maybe we need to take care of it. Maybe I need to straighten my leg out. But just to find some space and some softening, because we realize this is not the totality of my experience. This does not define the quality of my life. It's just one of the things that's happening right now. The other thing, of course, that arises, perhaps on top of something difficult or challenging, is doubt. The sense of, it's no good. This doesn't work. It's the wrong one, or the wrong place, or the wrong retreat. Or I've got the wrong body. We tend to either project it outwards, and it's like, God, about those teachers, that guy, he seems to like causing suffering, you know. Don't think I want to do that. Or this, you know, meditation thing. Well, it sounds good, but no, not maybe for someone else, not really for me. Sort of a cynical sort of sense, or more a sense of, you know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's impossible. Nobody can do that. It's kind of more makes it externalize, or we do the same thing internally. We say, I can't do it. Everybody else can do it, but me? No. Hopeless. I can't. I've got the wrong body. I've got the wrong mind. I've got the wrong heart. I should do something else. Maybe I should play dominoes. And sometimes people will be sitting in the meditation hall and struggling with the mind that just won't be still. Or sitting or walking outside. The same can happen, but just sitting and feel like, oh, I can't do it, it's hopeless. I give up. Look around and everyone else is so calm, so still, so peaceful. And we think, oh, they can do it, I can't. And give up. The person next door, sitting beside them, opens their eyes, looks around. Wow, look how calm this person is, how still they're sitting. Probably they're a really good meditator. I'm hopeless, I'm sitting here looking around. But we spin these stories about ourselves that can easily undermine the sense of possibility that we come with. To notice that doubt is doubt. It's not unusual. It's not a sign that something is wrong. It's just something that happens for some people sometimes. Actually, most of the people sometimes. We wonder, what am I doing here? What you're doing here? Being here. I'm not sure I should answer that question. But what you're doing here is something good. It's something that can be done. He said, if this was not possible, if this did not lead to benefit and well-being, I would not ask you to do it. But because it is possible, and because it leads to benefit and well-being, I do ask you to do it. This is a question of how much, and life, to be honest, which is not different than practice. It's a question of how much connection, how much clarity, how much kindness, how much curiosity can you bring to this life that you have right here? Our practice here, our sitting, our walking, our other activities are really intended to be in the service of this. This which is possible for each one of us. Not just everyone else, but for you. This is possible. And through this possibility, because of this possibility, peace is possible. Freedom is possible. Open-heartedness is possible. Why not? We're really used to wanting to know if we're doing okay. Have you noticed yourself evaluating? I'm doing okay now. It's going well. Mind's calmed down. Body feels okay. Oh, actually, that was 5 minutes ago. Now I'm feeling frustrated and annoyed and my body aches. I'm doing really badly. It's hopeless. I'm getting nowhere. And 5 minutes later, something else. Have you noticed that going on? How strongly we want to be able to measure and locate ourselves. It's really hard to do that here because we're not setting up too many measuring sticks. Not too many measurements that you can evaluate. And that's with good reason, because that tendency to want to evaluate locks us into a certain mindset that isn't that useful here. There's a value in some degree of sensing what's useful and what's not. Don't get into trying to figure out whether this is good or working or right or wrong so much, or whether you're doing well or doing badly or better or worse than someone else. Kind of leave that a little to one side, I would suggest. With regard to how you're doing, I mean, in one way, the last word is probably what one of the teachers in our tradition, senior teacher Jack Cornfield, once said, or what he spoke of in a certain situation where he was teaching a retreat, a little different than this. It was just sitting and walking, which some of you have done such retreats. And after a little while into the retreat, one of the staff asked him about one of the students on the retreat. He said, "Jack, how's this person doing? I know them." Jack said, "They're doing very well." And staff member was pleased to hear that. So I asked about another friend. "How's this one?" Jack said, "Doing very well also." Someone else in the room, another staff member, overhearing the conversation, asked about their friend. "Oh, your friend's doing very well." Staff member got a little curious. He said, "Jack, what do you mean by doing very well?" And Jack's response was, "They're still here. I'm wondering how you're doing." Only being here is what is asked of you. Play with what this asks. It offers you your life. sit quietly together for a few moments. May we all, through our practice here together, learn to meet what is true, open into what is here, come to rest as it is. For our own well-being and for the welfare of all beings.